Please get to it. I have much work to do. She folded her hands on the desk and gave Verna a blank look. Go on, then. Richard grew up with his grandfather. How nice for him. Verna paused in annoyance at the interruption. His grandfather is a wizard of the First Order. His grandfather wanted to teach him. Well, we will see to his teaching. Is that all? Verna's eyes narrowed. I do not need to remind the prelate that it is a direct violation of the truce to take a boy from a wizard who would teach him. I was told that there were no wizards left in the New World to teach boys. I was lied to. I was used. We have been stealing boys. You made me a part of that. Anne smiled indulgently. Sister, we serve the Creator, so all may learn to live in His light. Now in view of our duty to the Creator, what is a truce with heathen wizards? Verna was struck speechless. Dear Creator, I like this woman so. Please give me the strength to break her. Nathan had added his snowflake. She had to add hers. I have been sent on a 20-year chase without knowing the reason. I have been deceived. My two companions died, one at my hand. I have been forbidden use of my power to do my job. Do you think I forbid your use of your power capriciously? Is that what's bothering you, Verna? Very well, then. If you must know the reason, it was to save your life. Verna stiffened in caution. If I remember my lessons in the vaults, there is only one reason such restriction would save my life. Inwardly, Anne smiled. Verna wanted it spoken aloud. Indeed, Richard has subtractive magic. You knew that? You had one with subtractive magic collared? You would risk that? You would have him brought here to the palace? Her hands unfolded and she leaned in a bit. Why? Anne held the other's gaze. Because there are sisters of the dark in the palace. She didn't twitch. She knew. At least she suspected. Bless you, Verna. You are a bright one. Forgive me for what I must do. Is this room shielded? Verna asked in an even tone. Of course. She left unsaid that her shield would not protect against these sisters. Do you have proof of such an accusation, prelate? I do not need proof right now, because this conversation is restricted. You will not speak of it, unless you plan to bring charges. If you do, I, of course, will deny it, and say a bitter sister was trying to accuse the prelate of blasphemy for personal gain. And then we would have to hang you. Neither of us wants that, now do we? Verna sat stiff and still. No, prelate. But what does that have to do with bringing Richard here? When your house is overrun with rats, the only thing you can do is to bring in a cat. This cat sees us all as rats, maybe with good reason. Some might say that perhaps you were not bringing in a cat for your rats, but bait. Richard is a good person. I would not like to think he is being sacrificed. Do you know why you were selected to go after Richard? I had thought it was your vote of confidence. Anne shrugged. In a way, it was. Although I'm not sure that there are sisters of the dark in the palace, and I have no idea who they are if it's true. I had to assume that if it is true, then since Grace and Elizabeth were at the top of the list, they would be sisters of the dark. I knew from prophecy that only my eyes have seen that Richard probably has subtractive magic, and further, that he would refuse the first two offers. I knew the first two sisters would die. If the Nameless One's disciples knew any of this, they would want the third name on the list to be one of theirs, too. I used my prerogative as prelate to pick the third sister. You chose me because you had faith that I was not one of them? What Anne wanted to say was, I have known you since you were a child, Verna. I know your quick mind, your heart, and your soul. You, of all the sisters, were the one I trusted with the fate of the world. I knew Richard would be safe in your hands. But she could not say that. I chose you, Verna, because you were far down on the list and because, all in all, you are quite unremarkable. The room rang with silence for a long moment. Berna swallowed. I see. Anne affected dispassionate objectivity. Inside, her heart was breaking. I doubted you were one of them. You are a person of little note. I'm sure Grace and Elizabeth made their way to the top of the list because whoever directs the Sisters of the Dark considered them expendable. I direct the Sisters of the Light. I chose you for the same reason. There are sisters who are valuable to our cause. I would not risk one of them on such a task. The boy may prove a value to us, but he is not as important as other matters at the palace. He may be a help. It was simply an opportunity I thought to take. If there had been trouble and none of you made it back, well, I'm sure you can understand that a general would not want to lose his best troops on a low-priority mission. Verna's breathing looked forced. Her voice sounded it. Of course, Prelate Annalena. Anne shuffled her papers impatiently. I have important matters to get back to. Is there anything else, sister? No, Prelate. When the door closed, Anne lowered her face into her shaking hands. Tears dripped onto her papers. She appraised his eyes for a long moment. Richard didn't know if she would say yes or not, but he had had to tell her much of what he had learned just to get her to agree to listen to his plea. He couldn't afford to fail. He needed help. He had to trust someone. All right, Richard, I will help you. If half of what you say is true, I must help you. Richard sighed as he closed his eyes in relief. Thank you, Liliana. I'll never forget you for this. You're the only one around here who will listen to reason. Can we do it now? Time is critical. Now? She whispered harshly. Here? Richard, if what you say about you having subtractive magic is true, it won't be a simple matter to remove your Radahan. I will need to retrieve an object of magic that the sisters keep guarded. It's an aid used to amplify power. Maybe through that, and with your help, it will be enough to get the collar off. Not only that, but if the Nameless One is involved, there is no telling what ears or Han might be paying attention. Then when? Where? It has to be soon. She wiped her fingers over her eyes as she considered. Well, I think I can retrieve the object before tonight, so we could try tonight, but where? It can't be in the palace. It would be too dangerous. The Hagen Woods, Richard said. Everyone avoids the Hagen Woods. Liliana looked up. Richard, you can't be serious. It's dangerous there. Not for me. I already told you how I can tell if the Mriswith are coming. We'll be safe enough, and we won't have to worry about any sisters or Pasha stumbling by while we're trying to get this cursed thing off my neck. She let out a frustrated breath. At last she laid a hand on his shoulder and, giving it a squeeze, smiled. All right. The Hagen Woods, then. With a stern look, she gripped his shoulder and held him out at arm's length. I'm violating a whole stack of rules by doing this. I know it's important and the right thing to do, but if they catch us before we can do it, they will make sure I never get near enough to you to ever try again. I'm ready now. Let's go. No, I must try to retrieve the aid first. She cocked her head to the side as she frowned. And I just thought of something else. They keep telling you not to let the sun set on you there. Why? Richard shrugged. Because it's dangerous. And after everything you've learned, you believe them? You trust them? Richard, what if they don't want you to let the sun set on you there because you might learn something useful? You said the Hagen Woods were placed there by the wizards of old who had subtractive magic in order to help those like you. What if the sisters don't want you to have that help? What if they are just trying to make you afraid so you won't discover it? Wizard's first rule. Were they deceiving him? Was he believing a lie? You may be right. We'll go before sunset. No, we don't want to be seen together. And it will take me some time to steal the aid. Do you know where the long split rock sits in the stream to the southwest corner of the Hagen Woods? I know the place. Good. You get there before the sun sets. You are the one the magic is for. Go in the woods by the split rock. Tie strips of cloth to branches so I can follow where you went and find you. I'll meet you there in the woods when the moon is two hands in the sky. And Richard, don't you dare tell anyone about this, or you will be risking not only my life and yours, but Kaylin's too. Richard nodded with a smile of thanks. On my word, tonight then. He paced his room after she left. He was anxious to get this over with and be off. He was running out of time. If Darkenrall had the Skrinbone, they were already out of time. But that was just foolish. How would he get it? He was a spirit. Maybe it was as Warren said that the elements were rarely all in place. It was Kaylin he was worried about. He had to help her. A knock brought him out of his thoughts. He thought it might be Liliana come back, but when he opened the door, a distraught Perry pushed into the room. Richard, I need your help. He pulled out a fistful of robes. Look at this! They promoted me! Richard glanced down the length of the simple brown robes. Congratulations! That's great, Perry! It's a disaster! Richard, I need your help! Richard frowned. Why is it a disaster? Perry threw his arms in the air, as if it should be obvious to anyone. Because I can't go into the city. I'm restricted in these robes. I'm not allowed to go over the bridge. Well, I'm sorry, Perry, but I don't see how I can help you. Perry took a deep breath to calm himself. He looked up pleadingly. There's a woman in the city. I've been seeing her study of late. Richard, I really like her. I'm supposed to meet her tonight. If I don't show up so I can explain, if I never show up again, she'll think I don't care about her. Perry, I still don't see what I can do about it. Perry grabbed him by the shirt. They took all my clothes. Richard, you could lend me some of yours. Then no one would recognize me, and I could sneak into the city and see her. Please, Richard, lend me some of your clothes. Richard thought a moment. He didn't care if he was violating some obscure rule of the palace. It seemed insignificant compared to what he was doing. But he still worried for Perry. The guards all know me. They will see it's you in my clothes and tell the sisters. Then you'll be in for trouble. Perry glanced away, frantically thinking. Night. I'll wait until night, and then I'll go. They won't see so clearly who it really is at night. Please, Richard, please. Richard sighed. It's fine by me, Perry, if you want to risk it. Just don't get yourself caught. I'd hate to know I helped get you in trouble. He gestured to the bedroom, where the wardrobe was. Come on, take whatever you like. You aren't quite my size, but I guess you're close enough. Perry added a grin to his sidelong look. The red coat? Can I have the red coat? She'd like me in that. Sure. Richard led a giddy Perry toward the bedroom. If that is what you would like, take it. I'm glad someone will enjoy wearing the red coat. Perry sorted through the wardrobe, looking for a pair of pants and a shirt he thought would look dashing. I saw Sister Liliana leaving your room just before I came. He pulled out a ruffled white shirt. She's one of your teachers? Yes, I like her. She's the nicest of the lot. Perry held up the shirt in front of himself. How does this look on me? Better than on me. You know Liliana? Not really. She just always gave me the shivers, those strange eyes of hers. Richard thought about Liliana's pale blue eyes, shot through with violet flecks. He shrugged. I thought they were strange, too, at first, but she's so bubbly and friendly that I don't even notice them anymore. She has such a warm smile that it's hard to see anything else. Chapter 65 Richard sat quietly with his legs folded and the sword across his knees. He wore his Mrizwith cape so that Pasha and Sister Verna wouldn't know where he was. He didn't want either to know the sun had set on him in the Hagen Woods. Either would surely come after him if they knew what he was doing. He had found a small clearing, high enough to be dry, and had waited there since the sun had gone down. He could see the full moon through the tight tangle of branches and judged it about two hands high. He didn't know what was supposed to happen in the Hagen Woods when the sun set on you there, but so far it seemed as it always had when he had been there before at night. He returned Liliana's call, and she came out from behind a fat oak. She looked about at the woods. It wasn't a tentative glance, but a confident appraisal. She sat before him, crossing her legs. I got it. The aid I told you about. Richard smiled in relief. Thanks, Liliana. She pulled it from her cloak. In the moonlight, he could see it was a small statue of a man holding something clear as glass. She held it up, showing it to him. What is it? The crystal, this clear part here, has the power to amplify the gift. I don't have the power to get your Radahan off, if it is true that you have subtractive magic, because I only have additive. You will hold this in your lap. When we join our minds, this will help amplify your power, so I can use it and be able to break the hold. Good, let's begin. She pulled the statue back. Not until I tell you the rest. He looked into her pale blue eyes, at the dark flecks spread through them. So tell me, the reason you can't help get the collar off is because you don't have the training to use your gift. You don't know how to direct the power. This will overcome that deficiency. I hope. You're trying to work up to warning me about something. She gave a single nod. You don't know how to control the flow, so you will be at the mercy of the aid. But the aid doesn't understand pain. It simply does what it must, what I need. So you're telling me it might hurt? I'm prepared to endure pain. Let's get started. Not might. She held up a cautionary finger. Richard, this is dangerous. It will hurt you. It will feel like your mind is being torn apart. I know you want to do this, but I don't want to deceive you. This will make you think you're dying. He felt a trickle of sweat run down his neck. It must be done. I will be directing my Han to try to break the hold of the collar. The aid will be pulling power from you to do as I need to overcome the Radahan. It will hurt you. Liliana, I can take whatever is necessary. It must be done. You listen to me, Richard. I know you want to do this, but you listen. I will be pulling the gift from you to help break the collar. Your mind will feel like I'm trying to pull the very life from you. Your inner mind may interpret that as me trying to suck the gift, the very life from you. You will have to endure the feeling of having your life ripped from you. You will have to endure it until the collar breaks. If you try to stop it when my power is in you, trying to do as I must. So what you are saying is that if it's too much and I want to stop, I can't. If I try to stop the pull on my magic, it will kill me. Yes, you must not resist. If you do, you will die. Her expression was as serious as he had ever seen it. You must trust me and not try to stop what is happening to you, or you will die, and then Kaelin will die. Are you sure you can do that? Liliana, I would do anything, endure anything to save Kaelin. I trust you. I will put my life in your hands. She at last nodded and placed the statue in his lap. She gazed into his eyes a long moment and then kissed her finger. She touched the kissed finger to his cheek. Into the void, then, together. Thank you for your trust, Richard. You will never know what this means to me. Nor to me, Liliana. What do you want me to do? The same as we have always done before. You just try to touch your Han, as always, and I will do the rest. She wiggled forward until their knees were pressed together. They held hands, letting them rest over their knees. Each drew a deep breath and closed their eyes. At first, it was the same as it always was, just deep relaxation as he concentrated on the image of the Sword of Truth. The pain at first was simply an uncomfortable tingling. It spiraled deeper, settling at the base of his spine, feeling like a pulled muscle. The pain worked its way up his back. Abruptly, it erupted everywhere at once, something like the pain of the Aegil, a hot ache searing through the marrow of his bones. Denna had taught him to endure pain. He said a silent thank you to Denna for what she had done. Maybe it would be what he needed to endure this to save Kaelin. The twisting torture took his breath. His back stiffened. Sweat instantly drenched his face. His lungs burned for air. With the greatest of effort, he drew a breath. Shattering pain exploded through his mind, plunging him into a timeless place of ripping, unending agony. He struggled to hold the sword in his mind. Tears ran down his face. He had to do this. It felt as if every nerve in his body were exposed and being held to a flame. He thought his eyes might burst. He thought his heart might burst. He flinched with each agonizing tug of pain. It was torture beyond endurance. And then it seemed as if what he had felt had not yet been the beginning of it. He was unable to scream, to breathe, to move. It seemed his very soul was being ripped from him. As Liliana had warned him, it seemed as if his very life was being pulled from him. He felt a wash of panic that this was killing him. He felt dark death soaking into the void left by what was being ripped from him. He dimly worried that this wasn't right. Terror burgeoned deep within him. And then that too was pulled into the swirling torrent erupting outward. He wanted nothing more than to scream, as if it would somehow ameliorate the agony. But he could not. His muscles seemed to be losing their life along with the rest of him. He could not breathe or even hold his head up. "Please, Liliana, please hurry, please." He struggled not to resist what she was doing. He prayed that he would not fight her. He had to get to Kaelin. She needed him. His eyes were open, he realized, when he recognized the statue in his lap. His head was hanging. The crystal was beginning to glow a dull orange. A dim part of him thought that that must mean it was working, doing its job. His head felt as if it were coming apart. He expected to see blood dripping down. But he saw only the orange glow increasing. "Please, Liliana, hurry!" Blackness was enveloping him. Even the insufferable pain was beginning to seem distant. He felt life slipping from his grasp. He felt an emptiness coming upon him that was more ghastly than anything he thought possible. In the fading recesses of his mind, he felt a presence. Rizwith. He felt them near. His level of alarm rose. They were around him, closing in. And then he heard, as if from a great distance, Liliana's voice. "Wait, my pets. You may have what is left when I am finished with him. Wait!" He could dimly see them Rizwith in his mind, as he always had when they came to him. When Liliana spoke, they moved back. Why would she say that? Why would the Rizwith move back at her command? What did she mean? Maybe the pain had driven him insane, and it was only a mad illusion. He felt a presence at his back. Not a Rizwith. Worse. More gruesome by 10. He felt its fetid breath on his neck. Liliana's voice came in a dangerous hiss. "I said wait." The presence receded a bit, but not as far as the Rizwith. What did she mean? They could have what was left. He was dying. That was what she meant. He could feel it. He was dying. No. Liliana said he would think that. It was simply happening as she had said, that was all. He had to be strong for Kaelin, but he had so little left to give. He was dying. He knew he was. The statue in his lap was glowing brighter. The hot breath returned to his neck. He heard a low growl from the loathsome thing. He vehemently wanted it away from him. Liliana's menacing voice came again. "Wait. I will be finished in a moment, and then you may have his body. Wait!" In that instant, something deep within him told him that if he was ever going to save himself, this was the last chance. It had to be now. The decision to act was sudden desperation. From deep within, from the core of his mind, from the core of his being, from the core of his soul, he wrenched his will to action. And by force of will, with frantic, colossal effort, he yanked his power, his life, himself, back. A thundering boom sounded, and an impact sundered the air, throwing the two of them apart. Richard landed on his back at one edge of the clearing, Liliana at the other. The Sword of Truth was in the center. The Mrizwith and the other creature melted back into the darkness among the trees. Richard gasped for air. He sat up and shook his head. The statue lay on the ground in the center near his sword. The orange glow was gone. Liliana floated upward without effort. It looked as if an invisible hand had lifted her gently to her feet. The sight raised hackles on the back of his neck. She smiled wickedly. Richard hadn't thought Liliana to be capable of such a vile grin. It made his toes curl in his boots.
Oh, Richard, I was so close. I've never experienced anything like it. You have no idea of the glory of what you have, but I will have it yet.
Richard glanced to the sides, trying to decide which way to run. He felt like a fool, and at the same time was overcome by a sense of profound loss.
Liliana, I trusted you. I thought you cared for me.
She lifted an eyebrow.
Did you?
The slow smile returned.
Maybe I did. Maybe that's why I was doing it the easy way. Now we do it the hard way.
Richard blinked. What do you mean, the hard way?
The Quillian would have been the easy way. I have taken on the gift from many a male, but you resisted where they could not. Now I must skin you alive to have your gift. First, I will have to disable you. You will lie helpless as I do it.
She held out a hand. A sword floated out from behind the big oak, out of the darkness and into her hand. With a shriek, she swept across the clearing toward him. Her sword flashed in the moonlight. Without thinking, Richard lifted his hand, calling his sword and its magic. The response was instant. The anger inundated him. He felt the hilt slam into his palm as Liliana swung her sword. The sword, the magic, the spirits were with him. He brought the blade up, blocking her strike. Dimly, Richard wondered why his sword didn't shatter hers. But then he was moving. The dance with death had begun. He countered her strikes, and she his. He evaded attacks that should have had him, and she thwarted attacks that should have had her. She spun like the wind, slipping away at the last instant. He felt as if he were fighting a shadow. No human could move the way she did. He could not move the way she did. Behind, he felt the sudden, loathsome presence. He checked the thrust of her blade and spun, bringing the sword around with lightning speed. For an instant, he saw a snarl of fangs and a malicious glare, and then the sword made solid contact. And what was there was rendered unrecognizable as it disintegrated. He felt her blade coming and dove over the falling hulk. Rolling to his feet, he returned the attack. The night air rang over and over with the sound of steel on steel. Richard realized that her blade must somehow be like his. She had a weapon the match of the Sword of Truth. Besides that, she had command of magic he could only imagine. He didn't have to imagine long. As the battle wound its way across the clearing, both straining with all the fury they could bring forth, she leapt back and sent a bolt of fire racing toward him. He dodged at the last instant, and it flew past, hitting a tree. The trunk exploded in a shower of splinters. The top of the tree crashed down around him, some of the branches knocking him from his feet. Liliana slashed through the branches as thick as his arms to get at him. They splintered the way the trunk had. Richard scrambled out from under and fought her back into the thick woods. As they clashed over and over again while descending a steep hill, he began to analyze her tactics. She fought ferociously, but without grace, like a soldier in combat among the lines. He didn't know how he knew that, except it had come from the spirits of his sword's magic. The way she attacked, slashing and swinging, left her open for a thrusting counterattack. Richard pressed that attack at her, but when he finally managed to thrust at her middle, the strike that should have found its mark slid to the side. She was protected somehow. She had the use of magic he didn't understand. Richard was exhausted and was fighting on the pure rage and fury of the magic. She didn't even seem winded.
You can't win, Richard. I will have you.
Why? You can't win in the end.
I will have my reward.
He ducked behind a tree, just missing a swing that sent wood chips flying. If you help the Keeper escape, he will swallow all life.
You think so? You think wrong. He will reward those who serve him. He will grant me the things the Creator never could.
He stabbed at her, but the sword slid to the side. He's lying to you! Her blade whistled past his face. Her calm, deliberate attacks were relentless.
We have a bargain. My oath seals it.
And you believe he will keep his end?
Join with us, Richard, and I will show you the glory that awaits those who serve him. You can live forever.
Richard leapt to the top of a rock.
Never!
She looked up with a cold detachment.
I thought this would be pleasurable, but I find I am growing bored.
Liliana swept a hand out. Twisting, snaking, lightning came from the hand, but it was not like any lightning he had ever seen before. It was black lightning. Instead of a bolt of light and heat, it was an undulating void, as dark as the night stone, as dark as the boxes of Orden, as dark as eternal death. The dim moonlit scene seemed a sunny day in comparison. Richard knew. He was seeing subtractive magic. Liliana swept the black lightning across the rock beneath his feet. It effortlessly sliced a smooth-edged void through the rock. The remaining part he stood atop collapsed onto the half below. Trees behind for a good distance severed in the same way by the same black bolt crashed to the ground in a roar of noise. Richard lost his footing and toppled backward onto the steep slope, tumbling down the hill. He threw his arms out to stop himself when he hit the flat at the bottom and immediately rolled over onto his back. He looked up and gasped. Liliana was standing right over him, her sword held high in both hands. By where she was looking, he knew she intended to cut off his legs. He froze at seeing her sword commence its descent. What he was doing was not working. He had to do something else, or he was going to die. Her blade was a blur in the moonlight. He released himself, gave sanction to his inner self, his gift. He would surrender to whatever was there, or he would die. It was his only chance. He found the calm center within and did its bidding. He saw the Sword of Truth thrusting upward. His knuckles were white with effort. The sword was a white glow in the gloomy light. With all his force, he drove the hissing white blade into Liliana, under her ribs. When the tip severed her spine, coming out her back between her shoulder blades, she went limp. Only his sword and strength held her upright. Her mouth dropped open in a gasp. Her sword fell, sticking in the ground to the side. Her wide, pale eyes stared down at him.
I forgive you, Liliana,
Richard whispered. Her arms twitched in an uncoordinated manner. Terror filled her eyes. She tried to speak, but only blood frothed forth. There was an ear-splitting crack, like a lightning strike, but instead of a flash of light, a ripple of total darkness swept through the forest. Its touch made his heart skip a beat. When it lifted, the moonlight seemed dazzling, and Liliana was dead. Richard knew. The Keeper had taken her. Before, he had called the sword's white magic, knowing full well what it meant. This time, he had done as Nathan had told him, and let his instinct, his gift, call it forth. It had been a surprise to him, both the instant calling of the white magic and the fact that he had not consciously done it. Something within had known that that was what was needed to counter the Keeper's hate that filled Liliana. Richard was left stunned by what had happened. He stared down at Liliana as he withdrew his sword. He had confided in her. He had trusted her. He realized that he was still where he had started, with the collar around his neck and no ideas of how to get it off. Collar or no collar, he had to get through the barrier that kept him here. He decided that he would go get his things from the palace, and then he would find a way through the invisible wall. As he wiped the sword clean on her clothes, he recalled how it had been in the center of the clearing, a good distance from him. He had somehow called it to him, along with the magic. The sword had flown through the air and come into his hand. He set the sword on the ground and experimentally called its magic. The anger, the fury, filled him, as always. He held his hand out and willed the blade to come to him. it lay rock solid on the ground. Try as he might, it would not so much as twitch. Frustrated, he returned it to its scabbard. He pulled her sword from the ground and broke the blade over his knee. When he threw it aside, he noticed something white nearby. White bones gleaming in the moonlight were mostly all that remained of the desiccated corpse. Only the top half was there. He assumed animals must have gotten the rest, but then he found the pelvis and legs some distance away. Tattered remains of a dress that matched the top half still surrounded the leg bones. Richard knelt, inspecting the upper body. Animals had not touched it. There was not a single tooth mark on any bone. It remained now as it had fallen. With a frown, he saw that the bones of the lower spine were shattered. He had never seen bones splintered in such a way. It was as if this woman had been blown in half while alive. He knelt silently, staring, wondering. Someone had killed this woman. Somehow, he knew, magic had killed this woman.
"Who did this to you?" he whispered down at the corpse.
Slowly, a skeletal arm rose toward him in the moonlight. The fingers uncurled. A thin chain dropped down, dangling from the bones of a finger. Richard, his hair feeling as if it were trying to stand on end, carefully took the chain from the fingers. There was a single object on the chain. He held it up in the moonlight and saw it was a lumpy piece of gold formed into the letter J.
"Jedediah,"
Richard whispered, now knowing what made him do so. Chapter 66. As Richard approached, he noticed a commotion on the stone bridge. A crowd lined one side, everyone looking down to the river. At the center, he eased his way through toward the low, walled railing. As he did, he saw Pasha at the crown, too, leaning out over the stone, looking down. "What's going on?" he asked, as he came up behind her. Pasha spun at the sound of his voice. She flinched when she saw him.
"Richard, I thought..."
She looked back over the railing, down to the river, and then back to him.
"You thought what?"
She threw her arms around his middle.
"Oh, Richard, I thought you were dead. Thank the Creator."
Richard pried her arms off and then leaned over, looking down to the dark river below. Several small boats, each with a lantern, were towing a body tangled in their hand-casting nets. In the flickering yellow light, he could see the red coat. Richard ran over the bridge and down the banks, reaching the shore as the men were landing the boats. Grabbing the nets from a man, he hauled them and their load up onto the grassy bank. There was a small round hole in the lower back of the red coat. He rolled the body over and looked into Perry's dead eyes. Richard groaned. Wizard's second rule. Perry had died because Richard had violated it. He had tried to do something good with the best of intentions, and it had brought harm. It was Richard the Dakra had been meant for. It was he they thought they were killing. Pasha was standing on the bank behind him.
"Richard, I was so afraid. I thought it was you."
She started crying.
"What was he doing in your red coat?"
"I loaned it to him." He gave her a quick hug. "I have to go, Pasha."
"You don't mean the palace. You didn't really mean what you said about leaving. I know you didn't. You can't leave, Richard."
"I meant every word. Good night, Pasha." He left the men to their grisly task and headed for his room. Someone had meant to kill him, and it hadn't been Liliana. Someone else was trying to kill him. As he was loading his things into his pack, he heard a knock at the door. He froze, a shirt half folded in his hands. Then he heard Sister Verna's voice beyond the door, asking if she could come in. Richard yanked the door open, preparing to launch into a tirade, but the look on her face caught the words in his throat. She stood woodenly, staring off at nothing. "Sister Verna, what's wrong?" He took her arm and led her into his room. "Here, sit down." She sank to the edge of the chair. Richard knelt in front of her and took her hands.
"Sister Verna, what's wrong?"
"I have been waiting for you to return."
Her puffy red eyes finally sought his.
"Richard,"
she said in a subdued voice,
"I could really use a friend right now. You are the only one who came to mind."
Richard hesitated. She knew his condition, though he now knew she couldn't get the collar off.
"Richard, when sisters Grace and Elizabeth died, they passed their gift to me. I have more power than any sister at the palace, any normal sister. I know you won't believe this, but I doubt even that will be enough to remove your collar. But I wish to try."
Richard knew that she couldn't remove it. At least he was told that she couldn't. Maybe Nathan was wrong. "All right, try then."
"There is pain involved."
Richard's brow drew together in a suspicious frown. "Why do I not find that surprising?"
"Not for you, Richard, for me."
"What do you mean?"
"I have discovered that you have subtractive magic."
"What would that have to do with it?"
"You lock the Radahan on yourself. It locks on by using the magic of the one it is attached to. I have only additive magic. I don't think it will be sufficient to break the bond. I have no power over your subtractive magic. It will fight what I try to do, and that will hurt me. But don't be frightened. It won't hurt you."
Richard didn't know what to do, what to believe. She put her hands to his neck at the sides of his collar. Before she closed her eyes, he saw a glazed look he recognized. She was touching her Han. Muscles tense. With his hand on the hilt of his sword, he waited, prepared to react if she tried to harm him. He didn't want to believe Sister Verna would harm him, but then he hadn't thought Liliana would ever hurt him either. Her brow wrinkled. Richard felt only a pleasant, warm tingle. The room vibrated with a dull hum. The corners of carpets curled up. Windows rattled in their frames. Sister Verna shook with effort. The standing mirror in the bedroom shattered. Panes of glass in the doors exploded as the doors to the balcony banged open. The curtains billowed outward, as if in a wind. Plaster fell from the ceiling, and a tall cabinet toppled over with a crash. A low moan of pain issued from her throat as the flesh on her face trembled. Richard seized her wrists and pulled her hands from his collar. She sagged forward.
"Oh, Richard,"
she said in a mournful voice.
"I'm sorry, I can't do it."
Richard took her in his arms and held her tight. "It's all right. I believe you, sister. I know you tried. You have found a friend." She squeezed him tight.
"Richard, you have to get away from this place."
He sat her back in the chair as she wiped her fingers at the lower lids of her eyes. Richard rocked back on his heels. "Tell me what's happened."
"There are sisters of the dark in the palace."
"Sisters of the dark? What does that mean?"
"The sisters of the light work to bring the light of the Creator's glory to the living. Sisters of the dark serve the Keeper. It has never been proven that they even exist. The accusation without proof is a crime. Richard, I know you aren't going to believe me. I realize this sounds like I'm just..."
"I killed Sister Liliana tonight. I believe you." She blinked at him.
"You did what?"
"She told me she was going to take my collar off. She had me meet her in the Hagen Woods. Sister Verna, she tried to take the gift from me for herself."
"She can't do that. A female cannot take on the gift of a male or the other way around. It isn't possible."
"She said she had done it many times before. It seemed possible to me when she was trying. I could feel her pulling the life, the gift, right out of me. She almost succeeded. I came close to death." She brushed back her curly hair.
"But I don't see how."
Richard pulled out the statue. "She was using this. The crystal started glowing orange when she was doing it. Do you know what it is?" Sister Verna shook her head.
"I think I've seen it before, somewhere, but I can't remember. It was so long ago, before I left the palace. What happened then?"
"When that didn't work because I used my power to stop her, she called a sword from the shadows. She wanted to wound me. She said she was going to skin me alive and then steal my gift for herself. She tried to cut off my leg. Somehow I got her first. Sister Verna, she had subtractive magic. I saw her use it. Not only that, but someone else is trying to kill me. I loaned my red coat to Perry. They just dragged his body out of the river. He had been stabbed in the back with a dakra." She grimaced.
"Oh, dear Creator."
She twined her fingers together in her lap.
"The palace knows you have subtractive magic. They're using you to flush out the Keeper's disciples." She took his hand. Richard, I've been a part of this. I should long ago have questioned the things that were wrong, but I didn't. I instead did as I thought was right.
Questioned what?
Forgive me, Richard. You should never have had a Radahan put around your neck. It wasn't necessary. I was told there were no wizards in the new world to help boys. I thought you would die without our help. Your friend Zed could have kept the gift from harming you. The prelate knew there were wizards to help you. She let you be stolen from your friends and loved ones for her own selfish reasons. You didn't need the Radahan to save your life.
I know. I talked to Nathan. He told me.
You went to the prophet? What else did he say?
That I have more power than any wizard born in 3,000 years, but I have no idea how to use it, and that I have subtractive magic. He said that the sisters could not remove the collar.
I'm so sorry I brought this upon you, Richard.
Sister Verna, you were deceived, as was I. You're a victim, too. They've used both of us. There is worse trouble. There is a prophecy that says that on winter solstice, Kaelin is going to die. I must stop that from happening. And Darkenrall, my father, an agent of the Keeper, is in this world. You saw the mark he burned on me. He is an agent who can tear the veil if he has all the elements in place, though I doubt he does. Sister Verna, I have to get away from here. I must get through the barrier.
I'll help you. Somehow I'll help you get through the barrier. Your problem will be the Valley of the Lost. I don't think you can get through the valley again. Now that the collar has helped your subtractive magic grow, you will call the spells to you. The magic will find you this time.
I might have a way. I must try. Sister Verna thought a moment.
The Keeper would want to stop you. If there is a possibility for this prophecy about his agent to come to pass, the Sisters of the Dark will work to stop you. I am sure Liliana wasn't the only one.
Who placed her as my teacher?
The prelate's office assigns teachers. But the prelate probably wouldn't have done it herself. Such matters are usually handled by her administrators.
Her administrators?
Sisters Eulicia and Fenella.
I thought they were her guards.
Guards? No. Maybe in a bureaucratic sense. The prelate has more power than they. She doesn't need guards. Some of the boys think of them as guards because they are always turned away from the prelate's door by the two sisters. They do some of their work in the prelate's office, and they have their own offices where they handle a variety of administrative tasks.
Maybe the Sisters of the Dark came after me, decided they had to act now, because they had been discovered.
No. The prelate told me no one but she knows.
Could anyone have overheard?
No. She shielded the room.
Richard leaned in. Sister Verna, Liliana had subtractive magic. The prelate's shield would not have worked against that.
One of those two administrators assigned Sister Liliana to me.
She drew a sudden breath.
And the other five. If one or both of those two in the outer office heard what the prelate knows, then the prelate, Sister Eulicia's office, that's where I saw that statue.
Richard grabbed her wrist and yanked her from the chair. Come on, if they tried to kill me, they may try to kill the prelate before she warns anyone else. The two of them raced down the stairs and out of Gillamy Hall. They crossed the lawns in the darkness, ran down halls and through passageways. Kevin wasn't there. Another guard was on duty, but he didn't stop them, as he too knew Richard, and sisters were not restricted. Richard knew they were too late when he saw the charred doors to the prelate's office broken from their hinges. He slid to a stop on the slick marble floor of the hall. Papers and ledgers were scattered out into the hall. Sister Verna was still running down the hall as he went into the office with his sword drawn. It looked as if a thunderstorm had been turned loose inside. What was left of Sister Fenella lay on the floor behind her desk. The rest of her was splattered across the wall. He heard Sister Verna gasp as he kicked in the door to the prelate's office. When the door swung back, Richard dove through and rolled to his feet with his sword in both hands. The prelate's room was more of a mess than the outer room. Papers were nearly a foot deep over most of the floor. It looked as if all the books from the shelves had exploded, throwing the pages everywhere. The heavy walnut table was in splinters against the far wall. The room was in near darkness. Only the doorway behind and the open doors to the moonlit garden let in any light. Sister Verna lit a bright flame in her palm. In the sudden illumination, he saw a form at the far end of the room, near the overturned table. The head came slowly up. The eyes locked on his. It was Sister Eulicia. Richard dove to the side as a bolt of blue lightning blasted through the room, ripping open the wall behind. Sister Verna returned the attack with a searing gout of yellow flame. Sister Eulicia dove through the doorway into the courtyard to avoid the fire. Richard went after her. Sister Verna ran to the overturned, splintered table, pawing scraps away.
Duck!
Richard screamed back to her. A twisting rope of the black lightning sliced through the walls right over his head as he flattened to the floor. Severed bookshelves crashed down. He could see through the void sliced by the black lightning into the next room and the rooms beyond. Plaster and lath and stone collapsed down, raising boiling clouds of dust. In a fury, without thinking, Richard came to his feet when the black lightning ceased and ran outside. He saw a dark form running down the path. Again, black lightning arced from the shadows. The snaking void raked the courtyard. Trees toppled over, limbs snapping and popping as the trees fell. A stone wall collapsed when it was sliced in two. The noise was deafening. When it stopped, Richard sprang to his feet again. He was just about to start running down the path to find her when an invisible hand snatched him, yanking him back.
"Richard!"
Sister Verna's growl was as strong as he had ever heard it.
"Get in here!"
He returned to the prelate's room, panting when he stopped over Sister Verna. "I have to go." She shot to her feet and grabbed his shirt in her real hand.
"Go what? Go get killed? What good will that do? Will that help Kaelin? Sister Eulicia is a master of powers you cannot even imagine. But she might get away. At least you will be alive when she does. Now come help me with this table. I think the prelate is still alive."
Hope leapt to life in him.
"Are you sure?"
Richard started pulling the broken pieces away, throwing them behind. He found the body at the bottom of the debris. Sister Verna was right. The prelate was alive, but looked seriously hurt. Sister Verna used her power to lift heavy pieces of the table and bookcases clear while Richard carefully pulled lesser chunks off the woman. She was wedged into the bottom bookshelf against the wall and covered with blood. She groaned when Richard gently put his hands around her and drew her out. He didn't think she was long for this life.
"We have to get help," he said.
Sister Verna's hands played over the prelate's body.
"Richard, this is very bad. I can feel some of her injuries. It's more than I can help with. I don't know if anyone will be able to help with this."
Richard lifted Anne in his arms. "I can't let her die. If anyone can help her, it's Nathan. Come on." Guards and sisters came rushing, having heard the deafening roar of the power Sister Eulicia had unleashed. Richard didn't stop to explain as he made for Nathan's compound. He tried to hold Anne gently as he ran, but he knew by her groans that he was hurting her. Nathan came in from his courtyard when he heard them call.
"What was all that noise? What is it? What's happened?"
"It's Anne. She's been hurt."
Nathan led him into the bedroom.
"I knew that stubborn woman was asking for trouble."
Richard laid Anne gently on the bed and stood near as Nathan experimentally glided his spread fingers over the length of her. Sister Verna waited and watched from the doorway. Nathan pushed up his sleeves.
"This is serious. I don't know if I can help her."
"Nathan, you have to try."
"Of course I do, boy."
He made a shooing motion with his hands.
"You two go wait out there. This will take a while. At least an hour or two before I know if what I can do will help enough. Leave me to it. You can be of no help."
Sister Verna sat with her back stiff while Richard paced.
"Richard, why do you care so much what happens to the prelate? She had you taken when she shouldn't have."
Richard combed his hair back with his fingers.
"I guess because she had the chance to take me when I was little and she didn't. She let me grow up with my parents. She let me have their love. What else is there to life but the chance to be nurtured by love? She could have taken that too, but she didn't."
"I'm glad then that you are not bitter."
Richard paced and thought. He didn't pace for long. "Sister, I can't sit here doing nothing. I'm going to talk to the guards. We need to know where those teachers of mine are and what they're doing. The guards will find out for me."
"I suppose it couldn't hurt. Go talk to the guards. It will make the time pass more quickly."
Richard strode down the dark stone corridors, deep in thought. He needed to find out where sisters Tovi, Cecilia, Marissa, Nikki, and Armina were. Any, or all, could be sisters of the dark. Who knew what they were planning next? They could all be looking for him. They could all be... Stunning pain hurled him back. It felt as if he had been whacked across the face with a club. He staggered to his feet, the world spinning and tipping. He dumbly felt for blood, but there was none. Another blow smashed into the back of his head. He pushed himself up on his hands, trying to decipher where he was. His thoughts came thick and slow. He struggled to understand what was happening. A dark shadow stood over him. With an effort and halting movements, he came to his feet again. He groped for his sword but couldn't remember which hand to use. He couldn't make himself move fast enough.
"Out for a walk, country boy?"
Richard looked up at a smirking Jedediah, standing tall with his hands in opposite sleeves. Richard found the hilt of his sword. He sluggishly worked at drawing it. He lurched back as he battled to bring the magic forth. As the rage flooded into his foggy brain, Jedediah pulled his hands out. He had a dakra. His arm lifted, the silver knife in his fist. Richard wondered what he should do, and if this was real. Maybe he would wake and find it only a dream. At the apex of his swing, light seemed to come from within Jedediah's eyes. Slowly at first, and then with gathering speed, Jedediah toppled forward, slamming face first to the stone floor. A ripple of heart-stopping darkness swept through the corridor. When the torchlight returned, Sister Verna was standing behind where Jedediah had stood. She had a dakra in her hand. Richard collapsed to his knees, still trying to gather his wits. Sister Verna rushed forward, putting her hands to the sides of his head. Alertness jolted into his mind. As he came to his feet, he glanced down at the body, seeing a small, round hole in the back.
"I thought I had better go talk to some of the sisters," she explained. "I realized that the more people who know about the Sisters of the Dark, the better."
"He was the one, wasn't he? He was the one you loved." She slipped the dakra back up her sleeve.
"He wasn't the Jedediah I knew. The Jedediah I knew was a good man."
"I'm sorry, Sister Verna." She nodded absently.
"You go talk to the guards. I'll talk to the sisters. Meet me back in Nathan's room when you're through. I think it best if we catch a few hours sleep there instead of our rooms."
"I think you're right. We can get our things when it's light and then be off." When he heard Nathan come into the room, Richard sat up in the chair and rubbed his eyes. Sister Verna rose more quickly from the couch. Richard blinked, trying to banish the haze of sleep. They both had been up late. The whole palace was in an uproar. What had happened in the prelate's office was proof enough of the mythical Sisters of the Dark. Doubters had only to take one look at the smooth-edged voids that lined up through a dozen walls, or the cleanly sliced trees and stone, to know that nothing short of subtractive magic had been used. Richard had sent the guards out to look discreetly for the six sisters, Sister Eulicia, and his five teachers. The sisters were searching, too. He had also gone to talk to Warren to tell him what had happened. Richard stretched his legs as he stood.
"How is she? Is she going to recover?"
Nathan looked haggard. "She's resting more comfortably, but it's too soon to tell. When she has rested, I will be able to do more."
"Thank you, Nathan. I know Anne could be in no better hands than yours."
He added a grunt to his sour expression. "You're asking me to heal my jailer. Anne will appreciate it. Perhaps she will rethink your being held. If she doesn't, I'll come back and see what I can do."
"Come back? Going somewhere, my boy?"
"Yes, Nathan, and I need your help."
If I help you, you might get it in your obstinate head to go off and destroy the world. And do the prophecies say you were sent to stop me? Nathan let out a tired sigh.
What is it you want?
How can I get through the barrier? My collar stops me.
What makes you think I would know?
Richard took an angry stride toward the towering old wizard. Nathan, don't play games with me. I'm in no mood, and this is too important. You've been through. You went with Anne to get the book from the Wizard's Keep in Adendrill, remember? He smoothed his sleeves down.
It's a simple matter of shielding the Radahan. Anne helped me get through. Sister Verna can do the same for you. I'll tell her how.
And what of the Valley of the Lost? Can I get back through that?
Nathan, his eyes suddenly intent with a dark look, shook his head.
You have called too much power to yourself. The collar has helped it grow. You'll also call the spell. Sister Verna can't pass again. She has been through twice already. Additionally, she has too much power now. With passing twice and taking the gift of the other two sisters, she is locked here.
Then how did you ever get through three times? You're from Dahara. That's once. You went to the New World again with Anne and came back. That makes three times. How did you do it if it can't be done?
A sly smile came to his lips.
I did not go through the valley three times, only once.
He held up a hand to silence Richard's arguments.
Anne and I didn't go through the valley. We went around the obstacle. We sailed around the ambit of the spells far out to sea, landing finally in the southernmost reaches of Westland. It's a long journey and not easily done, but we made the crossing. Not many do.
By sea!
Richard glanced back to Sister Verna.
I don't have that kind of time. Winter solstice is not even a week away. I have to go through the valley.
Richard, Sister Verna said in a soft voice, I can understand how you feel, but it will take almost that much time just to reach the Valley of the Lost. Even if you find a way through, there is no time to get where you want to go.
Richard controlled his rage. I am inexperienced at being a wizard. I cannot count on my gift. For that matter, I don't care if I ever learn to use it. But I am also the seeker. In that, Sister Verna, I am not so inexperienced. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing. I've made a promise to Kaelin that if I must go to the underworld and battle the Keeper himself in order to protect her, I will do it.
Nathan's expression darkened.
I have warned you, Richard. If that prophecy is not allowed to take place, the Keeper will have us all. You must not try to stop it. You have the power to hand the world of the living to the Keeper.
It's just a meaningless riddle,
Richard growled in frustration, though he knew better. Nathan's scowl was the scowl of a Rawl, the scowl Richard had inherited.
Richard, death is intrinsic to life. The Creator brought it to be, too. If you make the wrong choice, all the living will pay the price of your pertinaciousness. And Richard, don't forget what I told you about the Stone of Tears. If you misuse it to banish a soul to the depths of the underworld, you will destroy the balance between everything.
Stone of Tears?
Sister Verna said in a suspicious tone.
What would Richard have to do with the Stone of Tears?
Richard turned back to Sister Verna. We're running out of time. I'm going to my room to get my things. We need to be on our way.
Richard, Nathan said, Anne has put her faith in you. She let you have the love of your family so that perhaps you will better understand the true meaning of life. Please consider that when the time for choice is upon you.
Richard looked up at Nathan for a long moment.
Thank you for your help, Nathan, but I won't let the one I love die for a riddle in an old book. I hope to see you again. There is much for us to talk about.
Richard dumped the bowl full of gold coins into the bottom of his pack before stuffing the rest of his things in. He reasoned that if it helped him save Kaelin, then it was the least the palace could do, after all they had done to him. The gold had been a kindness that lulled the rest of the young men at the palace into laziness. It harmed their humanity, as Nathan had said. Maybe that was why Jedediah turned to promises from the Keeper. Richard doubted that any of the young wizards, except Warren,
had done a day's work since they had come here, and had ready access to unlimited gold, but no knowledge of its value. Just one more way the palace of the prophets destroyed lives. He wondered how many children of young wizards that gold had spawned. Richard went out onto the balcony to take stock before he left. Guards were patrolling the grounds. Sisters, too, were diligently searching every building and covered corridor. The sisters would have to somehow deal with those six. He certainly had no idea how to contain their power. When he heard the door in the front room, he assumed it would be Sister Verna. They had to get going. When he turned and looked, he had no time to react. Pasha was storming through the room toward him. She threw her hands up. The doors blew off their hinges and over the balcony railing, falling the 30 feet to the stone-paved courtyard below. The impact of the solid wall of air threw him back. Only the railing prevented him from being thrown over with the splintered doors. The wind had been knocked from his lungs, and a sharp pain in his side prevented him from taking another breath. As he staggered away from the edge of the balcony, another blow threw him back once again, this time hammering his head against the stone railing. He saw a shocking spray of blood hit the stone before the slate floor collected him. Pasha was screaming in a rage. At first, her words were nothing but an incoherent buzz in his mind. He pushed himself up with his hands. Blood was running from his head. A pool of it spread beneath him. Reeling, he toppled to his side. He managed to sit up and flop back against the railing. "Pasha! What? Keep your filthy mouth shut! I won't hear any of it!" She was standing in the doorway, fists at her sides. One fist held a dakra. Tears streamed down her cheeks. "You're the Keeper's spawn! You're an obscene disciple of the Keeper! You do nothing but hurt good people!" Richard put his hands to his head. They came away covered with blood. He was so dizzy he had to fight the urge to be sick. "What are you talking about?" he managed to mumble. "Sister Eulicia told me. She told me you served the Keeper. She told me how you killed Sister Liliana. Pasha, Sister Eulicia is a sister of the dark. She told me you would say that. She told me how you used your vile magic to kill Sister Fenella and the prelate. That's why you were always wanting to go to the prelate's office, so you could kill our leader in the light. You are filth!" The world swam before his eyes. He saw two of her moving around and around each other. "Pasha, that's not true. Only the Keeper's trick saved you yesterday. You gave someone else the coat I love to humiliate me. Sister Eulicia told me how the Keeper whispers in your ear. I should have killed you when I saw you on the